Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. They underway? All right, let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park. Let's hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Early in the offseason, talked about going good to great. At this point, how close is this team to great, and does it take two more wins to get there?
Well, I think that we have certainly improved. I think we've made progress. Something that we focused on a while back is just trying to continue to improve each and every week. So how close we are, I don't know that. I know that you know, we're going to do what we've done for a long time, and what we know is to prepare, to try to go in and play with confidence and execute, try to build momentum throughout the week, and see if it can translate to the game, and then be ready to make adjustments as the game goes on.
How tough can it be to get a team to?
I know you're on fire today, backing up. Nobody wants to ask any questions.
Apparently, how tough can it be to get a team to keep improving? You know, it is a long season, and that can be tough for some teams to do.
Well, we've talked about it. You kind of recognize it in the middle of the season when the injury report gets a little longer. Guys play a lot of snaps, and we talk to them about ways of improving physically or mentally, and we feel like the details of the meetings and the walkthroughs, some of those little things that don't take a lot of physical exertion is something that we thought we could do to improve, because either you go out in training camp and have a bunch of reps or practice against another team or have a lot longer individual or one-on-one periods. Those are obviously the easy ways to improve. And then when you get into November, in the back part of the season, how do you continue to improve when you don't have the ability to run 50 or 60 plays?
Just be. I'm sorry.
Jeez. You done?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
How much do you feel you've improved and grown as a coach?
Well, I mean, I try to do that. I mean, I tell the team, like the coaches, we're going to need our best efforts every week to game plan, to give them a plan that they understand, that they're confident in, and that they have trust in. We have to improve each and every game and how we go out there and, you know, what's new. You know, you always write down questions, at least I do, and I know that the staff does, is what's the game plan run? What's the game plan pressure? What's the punt rush of the week? What are the and so that now our players, we have to be able to say, hey, here's what it is. They are copycatting, you know, something that somebody did a few weeks ago. Or this is the pressure, this is the front that we're going to see that's new. So that our players after the first series can understand, hey, this is the game plan that they've worked on all week. And you're going to see similar plays off of, you know, formations that we haven't seen from this team in a while. So as far as my improvement, I just try to, you know, come in every day and do things to help the team win and be prepared.
You face the Chiefs obviously over the season. Where have you seen them make improvements, and what are the challenges?
They're very good defensively. They're playing very hard. I think the scheme, you know, the scheme's always, you know, the scheme is what it is. But the players are playing hard. They believe in each other. You know, I noticed, and as you watch, you know, their effort to the football and the way that they chase and the way that they tackle, those are great compliments to Spags and his staff, and obviously Andy as the head coach. They're explosive on offense. They're athletic. They're fast. You know, it'll be a huge challenge.
How does this offense stack up and compare? You know, you've already played two high-powered offenses.
Compare? We don't do comparisons or predictions, so I'll answer whatever you want, but I'm not going to compare anything.
Sure, maybe just in terms of how explosive, you touched on it a little bit, how explosive this Chiefs offense
is. It is, and it can score from any part of the field. you know, they have roles and they have guys that they like to do certain things. You know, I think the thing that I appreciate the most about watching Andy and their offensive players is that I know what the diagram in the book looks like. And a lot of those routes and plays don't really look like those diagrams. They, you know, Travis, for example, he's put the personal touch on a lot of routes. I would say every route that he runs, you know, there's going to be something to it that probably looks a little different than most tight ends. You know, Tyreek Hill, obviously the speed and the explosiveness. They have plays that they like for Sammy. And, you know, Patrick does an amazing job of getting everybody involved and using the weapons and his ability to get out of the pocket and extend plays. You know, that was a big factor in the game the other day. His ability to gain yards and chunk yardage outside the pocket.
Against these teams that have high-ranked defenses, Arthur has drawn up good game plans. What are you most impressed by? Are you impressed by his ability to adjust in the games, the preparation during the week, the communication with the players? When you dissect kind of what Arthur's done well, what would you say the biggest strength is?
Well, I think it's been very inclusive. I think that, you know, the entire staff has done a great job of, you know, getting the information to him and helping him, helping all of us, you know, sit down and come up with a plan. And, you know, there's run game meetings, there's play action pass meetings, there's third down meetings and red zone meetings. You know, I think the ability to have a great relationship with a quarterback is something that's important. I think the ability to recognize when to go fast and when to go on the ball. I think that's something that has helped us here at the later part of the season, when conditioning, you know, may be a factor. You know, when we talk about all those things, the physical reps that you can practice with and how much do you run the players, because here's the GPS and they've run this many miles or they've gone this many yards. So I think the ability for us to recognize when's a good time for us to get on the ball and not huddle, you know, and then being able to, you know, obviously you have to be able to see how the flow of the game is going. You know, we had one on third down. You know, the operation which we get the call in, I think, is something that's critical, and we haven't had many of those. You know, I think that it's, you know, decisive with the call that he wants.
These last 2 weeks, you haven't needed a ton from your passing game because you've hit plays like the Khalif touchdown and Ferks are on in the New England game. How much of that is matchup driven the last 2 weeks, or is that just kind of something you've had to adjust as the games have gone on?
You know, each and every week is different. So I think that the ability to hit big plays, the ability to score in the red zone, the ability to run the football, to not turn the ball over, those are all critical things. And so, you know, we'll have to go in with a balanced plan and see how the game's being played and how it's going and do everything that we have to do to try to win it based on our plan and how it looks. And if it's working, you know, then we'll have to, you know, obviously stick with what it is. And then if it's not, we'll have to make adjustments.
The offensive line as a whole is obviously playing well, but that left side seems to really be coming together. How have you seen that whole process of Saffold and Lawan just come together and play the way that they're playing?
Well, we can't put any more money over there. I know that. So, I think the time that Taylor missed, it's, you know, it was probably naive of me to think that could just happen in 2 days of practice. But I think that there's a comfort level with those guys over there. We've talked that the teamwork required to work in combination with a guy next to you, whether that's in the pass game and they're running a stunt or they're running a game or they're a pressure, or the combination in a run game, whether you're on the backside or the front side to work, you know, through a player to another. Those are things that we, you know, are going to need to have. And, you know, I think Nate's development and Jack's really steady play, and then Ben kind of the glue that holds everybody together.
Did you see the push? I know you talked about the Patriots game. You saw the line of scrimmage move. Did you see that again watching film, especially in the run game on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think there were times, certainly, where that happened. Early in the – I think it was our second drive. I think we ran a zone play and probably gained 8 or 9 or 10 yards. And, you know, Derek's falling forward for the last 2 or 3 yards. And I think that's the push that – when you see that early in the game, when both teams are, I guess, as close to fresh as you can be, those are positive signs.
What do you think about it? Some of it's by necessity, but some of your younger guys in the defensive back end and the secondary have had to play more because of injuries down the stretch. How much more prepared do you feel they are to face Mahomes this time than maybe they were thrown in back in November?
Well, I hope that everybody's more prepared. I hope that everybody's, you know, gotten a little bit better at some technique or some coverage that we're running. You know, and then it's not always, you know, I mean, necessity. Like everybody, we only have so many guys on a roster, and the guys that are, you know, active have to have a role in the game. And, you know, to be able to get, you know, Amani and Dane in there, and, you know, whether it's Ty Smith or LaShawn or, you know, or Dory coming back, I mean, those, you know, we need everybody. And, you know, it was good to see some of those guys show up and make plays.
Along those lines, Coach, how do you develop that culture? Because in this run, you've gotten contributions from all 53 to create the culture where those guys have the expectation to contribute and help you win games.
I mean, I think that that's where, I mean, everybody's striving to be, you know, a starter. Everybody's striving to be the best player at their position. And also, you know, I think we've gotten contributions from guys that have been on the practice squad from August and early September to say, you're not here just to look at a card and run a play. You're here to work out, you know, four or five times a week with Frank and his staff, and to get yourself as mentally and physically ready to play all the way up until Saturday, whenever, you know, John and I could bring you up to the roster. And we've had guys that have improved, and when we've seen that improvement and we felt like they could help us, we've done everything we could to get them onto that game day roster, and guys have really taken advantage of their opportunity.
With Correa in particular on improvement, how much have you seen him grow? He talked after the game about kind of moving out of trying to make too many plays and just focusing on Deere. Is that a big thing with him here as he's progressed?
Well, it's just it's a big thing for everybody. You know, I think that you know, we all want to make plays. We all want to do things that help the team. But sometimes we stray from that, and when we try to do too much, I think as players, you know, it's a coordinated system in all three phases with 11 guys needing to be in 11 spots doing their job. And so the one thing I'll tell you about Kamale is I absolutely love his effort and his intensity in which he plays. So, you know, guys that play hard are always going to have a, you know, a lot longer leash when it relates to me and how I perceive them. And I know that he plays extremely hard. He cares about the team. And so that's why he's out there playing for us. And then we'll keep coaching him up and, you know, see if he can help us again this week.
How did David Long do? And I guess with Jayon, is it just kind of wait and see how the week goes with him?
Two questions. David, you know, I think when I said after the game it didn't feel like it was too big for him, it didn't look that way. Watching it on tape, you know, he's not a big player. He played, I think, aggressive. I think he played physical. I think he triggered. I mean, he made a fantastic play on a 4th-and-1 play to be able to get through the little you know, rabbit hole and find the quarter. Basically, he mirrored the quarterback. He mirrored, you know, Lamar, and was able to get through and come up with a huge stop. Again, there's things we all need to coach him on. And then moving on to Jayon, you know, we don't practice here for a few days. We'll meet today, but we'll see how he progresses.
Jarrell Casey's been here a long time, and he's been through some really bad times and now some pretty good times. How satisfying is it for you to see a veteran who's meant so much to this organization play well and get to this point?
Well, I can't say enough about his leadership. I mean, he was voted as a captain by the team. He has done everything that I've asked him to, or Dean and his coaching staff. I mean, when you're somewhere for a long time and you're used to it a certain way, and new faces come in, sure, that could always be a bit of a challenge. You know, Jarrell's never done anything but put the team first in anything that we've asked him to do. And so when people like that have success, you're excited for them.
When you flip on the tape, AJ's gone up against, throw the stats out away, but just the tape, AJ's gone up against two of the best corners in the league the last couple of weeks. What have you seen from him in his ability to get off against those guys and get open?
I mean, AJ just keeps working every week. I love his attitude. We've handed him the football. We've thrown it to him, you know, on short routes. One of the huge plays of the game was a third down play where, you know, he catches it in traffic, gets upfield, doesn't try to run sideways, runs a guy over, gets a first down, and we're able to score a touchdown on that drive instead of settling for a field goal. So, you know, it'll be a new challenge this week, you know, for him. And, you know, they mix coverages and they'll play post safety. They play Tampa and they'll blitz. So every week's a new challenge, I think, not only for AJ but for the entire team.
What's changed for you in the red zone? You're 2-7, I think, in the red zone in the postseason. What's been different with your guys?
You know, I think we've been close. It's not like we have. We've been pretty close. And I know we went from wherever we were last year, which was probably high one. I know where it was. And so I don't think it was, like, just awful. You know, maybe have a play here or play there, or quarterback, you know, they gets out of the pocket or whatever it may be. So I think that we're trying to understand maybe what we're doing, and the players are executing, you know, very well, and that'll be a huge key to force them to kick field goals like we did last time.
I think with any running back, when you would look at the workload Derek's been getting the last few weeks, you look at and say, that's a lot. Is there something unique about him that gives you confidence that he's going to be able to withstand this 30 carries week after week?
Yeah, he comes to me and says, give me the ball. Like, I could only take him for his word. And, I mean, you know, when he looks over and says, I need a break, he gets a break, and then, you know, we go from there. But, I mean, he's durable. He trains. I mean, he's one of the best conditioned players on our team. When you watch him in April and May and June, and that's how he trains and that's how he's built.
How often does he say, I need a break?
Yeah. You guys are at the games. I mean, it's not very often. I mean, sometimes. I mean, it happens. He gets tired. He got caught after he ran 50 yards the other day, and he was a little tired, and then we gave him a break, put him back in, and you know, it means a lot to him. You know, I mean, he's become a very good leader for this football team. You know, when you're durable and you perform and you play hard, you know, it's easy to be a leader.
Last three games, you've gotten opportunities to get Marcus on the field with the offense. How valuable is that in terms of creating a moment of confusion or uncertainty maybe for a defense?
Well, we just like to try to have a role for everybody that's active in the game. And Marcus, you know, not only had a role in the game and will continue to have a role in the game, you know, helped us prepare last week. You know, and I know that, you know, he'll do the same thing this week. And he's been very supportive of Ryan, and so we'll keep finding ways for him to help us during the games.
Was there a moment this season that you felt this thing turn around to where you are now, or foresaw this team being as powerful as they are now?
Just try to take every week, you know, as it comes, and try to find a message to the team that I feel like is something that we can relate to that week, and then try to find keys that'll help us win and keep them consistent throughout the week and try to continue to prepare the players. I don't know where, you know, what that moment is or what that point in time. It's a long season. It's a difficult season to try to get to this point.
What, if anything, do you say to this team about dealing with success, given that so few guys have played this deep into a season?
I wouldn't start changing the things that we've done up until this point. You know, that's going to be the message.
How important is it for an offensive coordinator to kind of be willing to take the risks and to know when to take the risks? And I guess how has Arthur maybe changed throughout the season in that regard?
Well, we always want to be aggressive. I think we have to be careful being reckless with our play, with our play calling, whether you're special teams coordinator that wants to run something, or you're a defensive coordinator, or you're you know, me that wants something run, or Arthur. You know, there's some things that you have to take into account, but I think you also have to have a level of aggressiveness in any business to succeed. You have to take some sort of risk if you want to win and you want to get to the top.
Several guys said after the game the other night that this team is as close or closer than any team they've ever been on. Do you sense that from compared to some other teams? And how valuable is that, especially this time of year, to play for the guys?
Well, we spend a lot of time together, you know, and it's hard for me to sense that. I mean, I feel that. I mean, I'm in a different, I guess, position, I think, than when maybe I was a part of teams. I feel that this is a close team. I feel they play hard for each other. I feel like they have the trust in one another to hold each other accountable. I'm starting to see a lot of those conversations between players and coaches. You know, I ask them to hold me accountable and the other coaches accountable. You know, because we put a lot into it and we're here together a lot.
What's an example of them holding you accountable?
You know, as far as just, you know, scheduling or, hey, you know, a call or maybe something I'm coaching or something I'm teaching. I mean, ask Logan, ask Ken, ask as the one of the three musketeers that sits up here. They'll give you examples. They're always, you know, on me. But, you know, those guys put a lot of work in, and those guys that play hard, that care, are great teammates. You know, I'm open for suggestions.
You talked about this, the moment not being too big for guys. Well, this is the AFC Championship. You played in a lot of these games. You know how big this moment is because what's on the other side. How do you help your guys avoid that? Because it just gets bigger each step.
I think you have to realize kind of where we've come from and how we've gotten to this point, and realize that it's actually worked. That our belief in this team, and this belief in what we're doing, the confidence in which we're playing with, the preparation in the meetings and on the practice field, the execution during the games, and the ability to build momentum throughout the week and try to ignore some of the noise that happens outside this building is what's gotten to this point, not about what lies on the other side.
Understand playoffs are always difficult. Mike, can you imagine a more difficult three-game stretch than this one on the road?
We don't have to, because I already knew what it was going to be when we left for Houston, that as long as you keep winning, you know, there's not a seventh seed for us to host. So we were going to be on the road. And I guess that was a nice way to put it when we, you know, because it really, our playoffs started when we left for Houston, just the way that the situation presented itself, that if you go on the road and you win, you're going to go on the road and play another team. And if you win, you're going to go on the road and and that's kind of it was an easy path. They didn't have to worry about if we were going to be home or anything else.
Is Humphreys likely to practice this week, you think?
You know, as likely as anybody else when Wednesday comes.
Last one.
Seven touchdowns in a row for Kansas City yesterday. When you see something like that in a football game and the momentum turn like that, what do you preach to your guys of how they can get on a roll?
You know, it's you've been out there as a player and you've seen it. You know, there's plays that happen, and you know there are only five or six of them that happen during the game that you're going to need. And you know, the message is, just because you give up a play, you're still playing. You know, just because they got the ball on the 30-yard line doesn't guarantee them a touchdown, but there can't be any panic, there can't be any flinch. That's when you need your leaders and your coaches to get everybody to kind of take a deep breath and figure out that at that point in time, you don't need any cheerleaders. You need players and coaches that can get players a call, and then players can go out there and execute and not have any panic.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Coach Vrabel.
Yep, there you go. Head coach Mike Vrabel will come back, discuss some of the things you heard. We'll also hear a little bit later in the show from what Andy Reid is going to say today going into this matchup at Arrowhead on Sunday. You are listening to Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, that's nice of you, Trevor. Thanks, we agree. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Mike sent us a picture of his ticket at the Venetian in Vegas. This was on, looks like late December. He got the Titans at plus 10,000. This is going back to our earlier tweet.
Which is 100-1 if you're converting.
Right. Yeah, it's not 10,000-1. It's plus 10,000. So it's plus 10,000. If you bet $100, you win $10,000. Well, Mike put $200, ooh, a straight bet on the Titans to win the champion, to win the Super Bowl, to win the NFL championship. Is that their way of getting around? They can't say Super Bowl on the ticket? Okay.
Yep.
So this is a Super Bowl winning ticket, the Venetian. Mike put $200 on the Titans in late December to win it all, and that ticket will pay $20,000. Well, technically $20,200 because you get your original $200 back.
Right.
So there you go.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. So to the question of have people really done that? Yeah. Mike just proved it. He had a picture of his ticket. He sent it to us. Well, good luck, Mike. Yeah. $20,000 on a $200 bet.
I'm just like sitting here thinking, what could I do with it?
Not a bad investment. Well, you're not going to get those odds now, Chase. That window's closed.
No. I missed out.
Yeah.
Definitely missed out.
So what is your mindset today? Honestly, what is the mindset after what played out in Baltimore Saturday night? You were there. As we've talked about this run the last couple of weeks, and I get it, Mike Vrabel started this 3 weeks ago, going into that final game against Houston. He said this is a playoff game because they knew they had to win to get in. They lose, they go home. Their season is over. So they've been in playoff mode for 3 weeks. Does anything change? I mean, you can't say Kansas City's any more explosive than Baltimore.
Yeah.
The only change is they've seen this opponent.
Right.
They had not seen Baltimore this season. Kansas City, they've seen. Kansas City came here, and Patrick Mahomes had been banged up
for several weeks,
and so he had just come back from injury after missing several weeks. I don't really think a lot's changed.
No, but I think you have to be careful of how much you take away from that meeting. Like, Derrick Henry rushed for 188 yards. There's no guarantee he does that again. Patrick Mahomes was not 100%. He's definitely a lot better now than he was then. So that's something that you have to look at. I agree with what Mike Vrabel said. The mindset is you don't change anything because you do what has gotten you to this point. That's what you have to do. Now, do you adapt as things go on? Sure. Of course you do. That's what makes good teams great. But whatever formula they've used to get to this point is the one they need to keep using to try and beat Kansas City and then go to the Super Bowl. It's crazy to say it. They're 60 minutes away from going to Miami. They're 120 minutes away from winning the whole thing. Like, that's how close they are. So they just have to really have that type of mindset of, all right, what we've been doing has worked, so let's keep doing it.
So much attention on Derrick Henry, rightfully so. I mean, he's doing things nobody's ever done in the league, in the history of the league.
I know.
Which is mind-blowing, right? He is breaking records that nobody in the NFL has ever done. But really, yes, he is a big, big part of this run, as in the MVP of this run. But you cannot, in the same breath, talk about the MVP of this run without including the defense. Like, Derrick Henry's got to be there, but the defense has to be on that list. What Dean Pease and this defense has done, holding New England and Baltimore to 25 points, a combined 29. Is that right? No, 29.
Yeah.
No, that was right. No, 25.
Yeah,
12 and 13. Yeah. 25. Yeah. 25 points. Two road playoff games, wild card and divisional games on the road, and you hold at their place, you held them to 13 and 12. Like, you cannot leave out the defense on what they're doing.
No. No, I mean, the defense has been a big part of this. I mean, they have made those key stops on fourth down against Baltimore. They've had interceptions at opportune times. I mean, think about this. If Kevin Byard doesn't pick off that football from Lamar Jackson on Baltimore's first offensive possession, they probably score. That could change the whole landscape of the game. But that shifted the momentum at that point after the Titans had punted it away. And the Titans were able to capitalize, march it downfield, and score. So with the Jonnu Smith touchdown, that those types of plays change football games, those types of moments. And so you have to credit the defense, and not to mention stopping Baltimore on fourth down, not allowing them
four
to
times.
Keep it going four times. I mean, that right there, that's Dean Pease. That's the bread and butter. And they've done it with some key players out. Jayon Brown didn't play. So you have to credit David Long, who got hurt during the game and still came back. I mean, he was not playing 100%. Wesley Woodyard, but Long got a majority of the snaps. Rashawn Evans. I mean, they are all stepping up. It's that next man up mentality. And I'll say this too. Tremaine Brock, I thought that was a bad pickup when they first got him. I mean, he got embarrassed a couple times. He's come a long way in the last few weeks, and that's looking like a pretty good waiver wire pickup by John Robinson.
Jarrell Casey had a huge game. Huge game in Baltimore. He is at the podium. Let's just check in and hear what Jarrell Casey has to say.
A couple games to go. We got to make sure we take care of this game coming up. Road Warriors, we know how tough it is going to be. We're out there playing against an opponent as good as they are. We just got to keep our mind focused on what we do, and that's keep our head straight, keeping our head down, and going to work this week.
We talked a couple years ago about your decision to stay here and help build this thing. It took a while to get here. But how rewarding is that decision now?
Unbelievable. Always said whenever I got drafted, I wanted to make sure I could, one, stay around on the team and be a leader. And then whenever I got opportunity, if I'm not in the Super Bowl, I didn't want to go nowhere. I wanted to stay with whatever team I'm with and make sure I lead that team to be a Super Bowl contender. And being a leader, that's what you got to do. And I take pride in that. And as you've seen with me not wanting to go to Pro Bowls, being alternates, it's just a mindset that I always had growing up is just, you know, when you stick with a team, it's loyalty. You know, you got to be with that squad. You got to ride with them. No matter how tough it is, you got to fight it out until I'm done. Either I'm going to retire not being able to go to a Super Bowl at all with the Titans, or I was going to be able to go to one. My mindset is just take care of this AFC championship and hope my dreams come true.
Is there extra pride as a team, Jarrell, in winning these games, not only who you're playing, but going into these tough environments and beating them in their
one more time? The beginning of that question.
Is there extra pride as a team just in the difficulty of the run so far?
I wouldn't say necessarily pride. We don't worry about how good the team is. We going up for this week. It's another NFL opponent. We believe we're just as good as those teams. So it's just another opponent in front of us. We're going to prep for them just like we would prep for anybody in the division, like we would prep for anybody that was going to play outside the division. It's just another team that's in the NFL that we got to get ready for. I wouldn't say it was necessarily pride or whatever, but you take pride when people don't think you're ready, don't think you're able to go out there and compete against the guys. Yeah, we're all competitors. We all like the competition in the game, so you get a little bit of extra juice after you win those games, but, you know, going into it, we prep it the same way.
What are your thoughts on Mahomes, and what's the challenge facing him after Brady, after Jackson, and now another MVP?
Man, it's incredible. You know, you get these quarterbacks that you match up against. For a defensive guy, that's what we live for, defensive games. And it's going to come down to us to make sure we contain him and his abilities and the things that he can do out there with the passes, the different ways he can throw the ball, the way he can move in the pocket. The guy doesn't look to scramble too much, but when he do, it's beautiful. And so we got to make sure we contain him the same way we did with Jackson, the same way we try to do with Watson when we play against him. We play against a couple mobile quarterbacks, so we understand how that works. Biggest thing is just going to make sure we get him down on the ground when we do get around him.
What's the biggest difference, I guess, in defending Mahomes than Lamar?
Biggest difference, it's the same game plan. Don't let the guys run downfield. Biggest difference is, I could say his home's going to hit bigger players. He got more weapons to work with. He got more guys he can get that ball to. And the way he can – his arm, his mobility with that arm, the way he can let that ball sling out, guy be right on him. He can throw it right around you. So everything's possible with that guy.
I feel like you guys have really adopted this
mentality. What is it you enjoy about going into these environments?
Shoot, I don't enjoy anything about it. I hate the road. But the biggest thing is just going up in there and just knowing that it's just all us. It's just who the team is. It's family. We preach that from day one going into here. It's all about us. And when you go on the road, we know, you know, going to be a few fans out there riding with us. But at the end of the day, it's everybody in that locker room.
You're not the biggest guy. You're not the fastest guy. But we're seeing you dominate inside and outside. What is it that makes you so versatile as a defensive player?
It's a mindset, and it's just my heart, man. I believe it. At the end of the day, whoever I line up against, nobody can match up against my ability. Been born that way. My mom taught me that way. So ever since I was a young kid, I always believed that whoever I'm going against, it was the young kids around the blocks. You know, I was a little bit heavier growing up, but I want to race them. I want to try to beat the fast guys. So just be with the DBs. I try to keep up with those guys, try to make sure whatever they're doing, I can do the same thing y'all doing. It is what it is. Like, just the mindset, just going out there, just knowing that it's a competition and I can't lose.
Is that something that the coaching staff came to you to do, or is that something that, you know, just kind of developed organically?
Nah, just developed organically. It's just something that, you know, I've always – when I was in college and high school, they kind of limit you. They try to tell you, you're going to be this type of person. You're going to be this type of person. And I always said, when I got to this level, Keith Millar, he always said, man, you could be a pass rusher. You could do certain things in this league. I could see you. I see your ability. And when he told me that, I just ran with it. I'm like, okay, I got to build on my craft. And I got, as you see over the year, I changed my diet. I changed this just so I can do things a little bit better. And it actually been working. And I think from here on out, you know, they pin me an end, I do good. Pin me a tackle, I do good. So wherever they want to line me up, I can do it.
How much have you seen Vrabel and his staff kind of evolve over the 2 years they've been here?
Unbelievable. The things that I love about it is that, you know, they all get out there and they try to coach. All of them get involved. They all detailed. Vrabel making sure that not just the players is informed. He's making sure his coaches is informed. To have a guy like that leading us into this road victories, it's been unbelievable. The mindset he approached with every week is damn near like unspoke of. A guy, he don't care about the win. He don't care about none of that happened. He's excited for that moment, but he's on to the next. His mindset is always on to the next. We can cherish the moments for a bit, but let's get back to the grind. Don't care about the excuses that you have, you're sore, you whatever. Get back in this building. Let's get back to it.
How much have things changed over those 2 years? Has it been gradual stuff that's noticeable?
I wouldn't say that. I think everything, when he came in, man, he preached it from day one. And everybody bought right into what he was preaching. And you've seen it from day one. His effects has definitely took ranks in this building, and everybody's been following the line.
He's also said that he's told guys, feel free to help hold him accountable. And is that something that you've seen? And have you said something to him to call him out on something?
I won't say nobody really called that man out. I think a couple guys leave that guy to be, you know. But he always preached that. This is the biggest thing he's always preached. Hold everybody accountable, and if we do. But I ain't going to say the guy is perfect, but he damn near understands football better than anybody in this building, outside this building. The guy, he's an intelligent dude. So, you know, it's not really too much you can question that man.
When this team was sitting at 2-4, did you see this day coming, and maybe what led you to believe you'd be in this position at this point?
Honestly, would I see this day coming? Not necessarily, but, you know, when you got guys in this building that constantly can, stay focused, stay in, buy into what's going on, keep it going. There was times at the beginning where I did check kind of out, like, you know, I don't know how this is going to go. Injury, dealing with injuries, neck injury, knee injury, going home, dealing with things like that. Just beginning of this, I can honestly say I didn't. But guys in this locker room, they believe, they trusted in me, being a leader, kept me going, kept me focused on what the bigger picture was, and understood they can take care of, you know, the work, carry the load, and allow me to get back into this, to the rhythm that, you know, they used to see me do. And glad I'll be able to come on to this time and be able to perform the way I have been playing the last couple of weeks to be able to help this team.
What's changed about us in the red zone? I mean, you guys have given up 2 touchdowns and 7 opportunities left.
We just locked back in, more of a focused mentality. We all say, you know, what we've been doing at the beginning of the year, our offense playing a hell of a ball. Don't allow ourselves to go into this playoff where our offense is on fire and we're not playing the defensive style of football we've been doing. And it's just guys locking back in.
Has working alongside Jeffrey Simmons been everything you thought it would be just in terms of you?
Man, it's unbelievable playing beside Jeffrey and also Daquan. Both of those boys is beasts. Just to have those guys in the same room, the mindset they approach the game with, we all communicate. We all understand where we're going to those games, how we want to perform. And, you know, just to have those dudes out there is definitely taking the load off me and making the game a lot more easier.
Jarrell, a lot of people think, you know, defense flying around, hitting people and all that, but especially Saturday night, you guys were incredibly disciplined in how you defended them. How important is that discipline to the game plan and, I guess, just doing your job as part of 11?
It's unbelievable. Everybody understands that this game is never won by just one person, especially on the defensive side of the ball, so it takes all 11. And going into these games, it's going to be detailed. If you're not detailed on the defensive side of the ball, you give up big plays, you give up a play, and that's all it takes for you to lose a game. So it's definitely key for us to make sure we stay on that type of mindset, continue the weeks that we've been having, and stay communication sound.
There you go. We thought we'd check in a little bit on Jarrell Casey talking to the media today after their big win in Baltimore over the Ravens, on to Kansas City on Sunday to take on the Chiefs. The winner is going to Miami and to play in the Super Bowl. Don't forget, this is what I know on the other side. Tell us what you know. We've got 3-day passes to Bonnaroo on the line in June. Yeah. Groups like Tool, Lizzo, Miley Cyrus, to name a few, there that weekend. So we've got passes for you. You just need to tell us what you know. You have to call in to do that. 615-737-1025. We will take your phone calls to close out the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. I don't believe AC/DC is going to be a Bonnaroo. I don't think.
Unfortunately, not.
It's not on
this
the sheet,
year, at least.
It's not on the sheet, but you never know. You never know who's going to show up to Bonnaroo in Manchester. That's going to be in June. We got 3-day passes on the line for the best. Also, the winner will receive a car camping pass. I have failed to mention that. That's important if you've been to Bonnaroo. So you will also receive a car camping pass. Part of this prize pack, part of the lineup will be Tool, Lizzo, Miley Cyrus. There's a whole great weekend. And it says 3-day pass, so I guess that's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the middle of June. But we need to know what you know. Tell us what you know. It's very simple. It's open-ended. And we'll just go from there. 615-737-1025. You must call in to win. You cannot text in. This is what I know to win. This is what I know. One, very sad, on a musical note, since we're giving away something associated with music, very, very sad to learn that Rush drummer Neil Peart died at age 67. Neil Peart. Marshall Widener is a guy that we work with on Predator home games in Barrel House. He's our on-site engineer. He's been that for years and years. He's very good at what he does. He is also a drummer, a professional drummer, and I would love to know what Marshall Widener thinks of Neil Peart, because what I think and what he thinks, his eyes and ears are better at that than me. He knows that, but I think Neil Peart is the best, right, when it comes to drummers.
I would say so. I have him he's up there.
He's at the top. He's got to be, and so that was sad to learn that also. Vanderbilt with a huge blow over the weekend. They lose their stud. Aaron Nesmith is lost, it looks like, for the season with a stress fracture, and they just played their first game without him, and things did not go well against Texas A&M.
No.
They got ran out of Memorial Gym. So that SEC losing streak, still intact. What is it now, at 22 games?
I believe it's 21 or 22.
I think it's 22 with that loss.
Yeah.
I think they're 0-22 in conference play dating back to last year. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
It's going to get worse.
That's what I know. Aaron Nesmith was one of the best players in the country. I mean, he is their best player far and away, and it doesn't look like they're going to have them the rest of the way, and my guess is that's going to spell big, big trouble for Vanderbilt. I've been saying it all year. The SEC's hot garbage. When it comes to basketball this year, last year was fantastic. This year, it's just not good.
To give you a glimpse of how big that loss is, if the season would have ended earlier this year, Aaron Nesmith would have been one of like three players in the history of college basketball to have over 60% true shooting and 55% effective field goal percent shooting.
Yeah, he's one of the best players in the country. So that's a big blow for Vanderbilt basketball.
This is what I know. This could qualify for you just made the list as well, so it's kind of a twofer. But when you use the service Uber and you put in a location, in my case, M&T Bank Stadium, when I put that in there, That means what?
You're going to the stadium.
That means I want to go to the stadium. That's what that means. And because there are different access points, I always try and tell my driver where I'm trying to go. I say, hey, I'm going to M&T Bank Stadium. I'm going to the Ravens Stadium. That's where I need to go. And he goes, okay, no problem. And again, I look at my Uber. It says M&T Bank Stadium. So what I know is when I do that, I expect to pull up to the stadium, not in the middle of some neighborhood with the Uber driver telling me, well, this is the address that's in there. And I look and I'm like, no, it's not. The address is for the stadium, which is over there, that I'm now going to have to walk to. And he looks at me and goes, okay, well, here's your address. Have a nice day.
I'm going to say he didn't get a tip.
He did not. No, and he got a 1-star.
Yeah, it's a boo.
Yeah.
Because he didn't care.
No. It's like
he should have known that was coming.
Yeah, so that's what I know. And also, you just made the list.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
That's a combination. All right, let's find out what you know. Got a great prize attached to it, so bring it. Mike, tell us what you know.
Hey, guys. So first and foremost, I want to commend you guys on the efforts that you guys have put in as a station as a whole. From the Predators firing their coach to the Titans' wild run to the national championship game being today, that's so much stuff. I can't imagine how hard and difficult it is to cover all that stuff, but I've been glued into 102.5 for, man, it feels like almost all day just so that I can get all the coverage of everything because I'm just interested in all this stuff right now. So kudos to all of you guys. I know that you guys are kicking butt, and it's a lot of fun to listen to you guys.
Thank you, Mike. By the way, we will get we'll go back to back in the final hour. We're going to get an LSU perspective and a Clemson perspective at 1 and 1:15, getting ready for tonight's game. So thanks for bringing that up.
I had to remind three of my friends who were so jazzed up about the Titans game that there's a national championship college football game on.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have. But you're right. This is a monster game, and because of what's going on in this market, in our market, it really has been kind of tabled. And like I said, that's a good problem to have. But I'm looking forward to tonight. But it's just been hard to squeeze in any talk of what I think is going to be a fantastic game tonight. But this market right now is on fire. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. And again, I appreciate the balance, though. Again, I still feel like y'all have done an adequate job of still covering it as well. The morning crew did a good job of it as well. So honestly, kudos to everybody. This is what I know. I'm sitting at a Chili's talking football with some guys at a bar. This guy's wearing a 49ers jersey, and I swear, he thinks the 49ers are the guaranteed Super Bowl chance. And I look over at him, and I said, well, what about the Titans? Ah, man, the Titans are nothing. Okay, I don't know how you could say that. We just knocked off the number one defense and the number one offense and arguably the number one defense for the Ravens, too. Ah, man, whatever. The 49ers are going to win. And I'm like, okay, how do the 49ers plan on stopping Derrick Henry? Ah, man, he nothing. How can you say he's nothing? This guy's ran over everybody. I think right now Derrick Henry could run through brick walls. So I know that you guys got to start putting respect on the Titans or we're going to keep running you over.
All right, thank you, Mike. Yeah, that sounds like that guy's living in a 49ers bubble. I don't think he's really watched much outside of 49ers games. Doesn't seem like that. That's not much insight into that fan other than, yeah, we're going to win. Why? Well, just because I root for the 49ers. Oh, okay. Thanks. Let's go to Michael. Michael, what do you know?
Hey, what's up, guys? I was pretty accurate with the Khalif Raymond, so I feel extremely confident about this one. I was at the home game when we faced the Houston Texans the first game, and then I was in Baltimore this weekend when we played the Ravens and had that amazing victory, obviously. But we picked up, I believe his name's Tremaine Brock, we picked him up shortly after Malcolm Butler went down, and that guy, like, I felt like I would have been better playing against the Texans. Obviously, he was guarding DeAndre Hopkins. Why he was guarding DeAndre Hopkins is beyond me. Like, it was that game, I remember being frustrated at him, like, the whole game. Like, do something, you know what I mean? But this is what I know. Tremaine Brock is the most improved player from that time that we faced the Texans to now when we went up against the Ravens. I mean, granted, he wasn't playing against a bunch of DeAndre Hopkins, but still, the guy's been playing. And I'm extremely excited to see that, you know, no matter who we put in there and next man up, like, they're going to find a way to get it done. You know what I mean?
Okay. So. Sure. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. No doubt. You have to have some of that. That's why I've always said you can't make excuses for injuries. They're going to happen. It's who adjusts the best. Simply put, you got to plug and play. Seattle's had a ton of injuries. Philadelphia had a ton of injuries this year and the year they won the Super Bowl. You have to plug and play. Next man up. And I know you hear that all the time, but truly, it's who does that better than the other, because injuries are going to happen. And really, when you think about it, when you think about how many games this team has played, they're going into game 19. They're relatively healthy, right, considering. Yeah. Think about the year they lost to Indianapolis here when at the end of the year, right, in the final regular season game where they had to win to get in.
Right.
Look at that. I mean, this every injury you could imagine had happened at that point. I mean, they just could not overcome everything. They were just so beat up. I mean, that's what you have to avoid. I mean, certain injuries are going to happen. You just have to overcome it. And right now, they have. They've been doing a better job than others. Let's go to, by the way, Seattle. If you watch their game against Green Bay, they were talking about how half the guys they were bringing up, Homer and Hollister, yeah, these guys were all add-ons during right. the season because of injuries.
But J-Rob's done that too.
No question. That's Tremaine what he's bringing
Brock
up.
Tremaine Brock is a prime example of that.
Yep. Let's go to Byron. Byron, what do you know?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm coming at this from kind of a Tom Brady and Belichick fanboy. But after watching Derek plow through us and then plow through Baltimore, you know, you kind of know what to expect with him. He's going to jam it down your throat, yet neither team could stop him from doing that. What I know is that I really, really hope he has another white suit, because I probably wouldn't want to be wearing a black one when he's down in Miami.
Thank you, Byron.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. He has changed it up each week. He had the purple. Now, he's looked awesome the last 2 weeks. So I think you got to do something different. Got to keep it going.
Got to keep it going. Let's go to Nate. Nate, what do you know?
This is what I know. People spend their money on the dumbest things. I don't know if you saw the tweet ESPN put out there of a guy videoing himself leaving the Chiefs game, basically saying, I'm taking one for the team. But I kind of dug into that a little more just to see who this guy was. And he's asking for money for basically being the reason for the Chiefs winning the game. And people are sending him like between $1 and $5 that I've seen.
Are you talking about and because like, he left to change the mojo? Is that yeah. I haven't seen this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's been asking people for money, like, send me money on Venmo or Cash App or whatever.
GoFundMe?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's a no. That's a no for me. I'm gonna pass. It's a hard pass.
I don't understand it. You work hard for your money, and you send it to this guy who's just walking out of a football stadium.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Nate, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, that's dumb. I ain't gonna get money from me. Robert, what do you know?
Hi, guys. This is what I know. If the Titans do not re-sign Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill, it's over. Like, they're crazy.
I really don't think you're going to have to worry about
that. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that, Robert.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean.
No, I know. I know why you're saying it, but
Derrick Henry, I don't know where he is in the MVP running. I mean, he should be at least number two, maybe number three, behind Russell Wilson and Jackson. But, I mean, just watching him, I mean, that stiff arm is just – no one can do nothing with it. I mean
– Yep. Thank you, Robert. Thanks, look, Robert. It's a shame because you're right. He was the NFL's leading rusher in 15 games this year.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, because of – how big of a monster season Lamar Jackson had, he would be the NFL MVP.
I think so.
He would.
But it's
going to be Lamar Jackson, but quite honestly, if Lamar Jackson – it's kind of like last year. Patrick Mahomes throwing 50 touchdowns and over 5,000 yards passing. Whatever else everybody else did, you're just going to lose, unfortunately. It was just one of those, you know, it's just one of those years where when you have that incredible season from one guy, all these other worthy candidates, or in this case, Derrick Henry, it's just, you're not going to win, unfortunately. It's just like, and I'm drawing blanks on who maybe have been, would have been right there, could have won it last year if it wasn't for Mahomes. Maybe Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, I think Russell's always.
I feel like he's always like right there. But
yeah, my guess is if there's a, you know, it'll go Lamar, Russell, Derek is probably what the ranking will look like.
It shouldn't though.
Derek no, should Derek Henry too. Should be second, but you know.
Let's go to Steven. Steven, what do you know?
I know that this was a beautiful weekend when it comes to Tennessee sports. Memphis Grizzlies got it done. They've got a strong future. You're looking at both the men's and women's Vols teams up in Knoxville getting it done. Also, obviously, the Predators, the Saras, putting up a shootout or a shutout. And then last but not least, the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if we've had a weekend this good in Tennessee for sports. It's been a long time.
I know.
That's a fair point. It was a very good weekend, for sure.
You know what's crazy, Darren? Since we have been 102.5 the game, which is 8 years or 8 years plus now, this is the first big playoff run that we've had to talk about with the Titans.
Yep. Well,
they went. I mean, playoff run
2 years ago. They know, did go the second round.
They did, but I mean, now they're in the AFC Championship, and you know, 2 years ago it definitely felt different than it does now.
Yeah. You know what else I know? Bridgestone Arena just now tweeted out that Pearl Jam is coming to Nashville on April 2nd.
I'm here for that.
How about that? April 2nd, Pearl Jam, Bridgestone Arena. Doug, what do you know?
Well, you guys stole my "this is what I know" on Lamar Jackson, so I'll go with "this is what I also know." I know that Belichick, even a week later, is still mad because of the pupil versus student timeout to run the clock out trick, and that this time next year, that rule won't be in effect.
No, you're right about – let me just say, you're right, Doug. Thank you for the call. Seattle, it happened in the Seattle-Green Bay game. They're going to change that rule.
Yeah, I think so.
Like that, because now everybody's doing it. They're going to change that rule.
You found something to exploit. Now you change it.
Yep. Barrett, what do you know?
Hey, this is what I know. Neil Peart was the greatest drummer to ever walk the face of the planet. I worked with a lot of drummers, really good drummers. And to the last man, he is the hero to every last one of them. Some of your older guys will say Gene Krupa or Louis Belson, you know, big band era, jazz kind of stuff. But Neil was the greatest to ever do what he did. And in football, this is what I know. If I'm a Titans fan, I'm really, really excited about this weekend because Andy Reid is 1-7 against this franchise.
Yep.
If that's not encouraging, I don't know what is. So congratulations, you guys. I've got a lot of happy friends, and I can't even be mad at them. They're really going about it the right way. So keep on trucking. Have a good day, gentlemen.
All right, you too. Let's get one more in. Trevor, what do you know? Last one.
This is what I know. Romo Trenin should probably start looking for permanent residence in Nashville.
Don't think you're going to see him for a while. Or maybe ever in Milwaukee. Sorry.
I also know that the best thing that Chiefs player could have done with the a la Stone Cold Steve Austin was to waste that disgusting swill called Bud Light over the top of his head. I don't know if you guys saw that play where they ran into the end zone and he snatched the two beers from the fan and just smashed them together like Stone Cold Steve Austin used to and shook them over his head.
I did not see that.
Oh, yeah, I saw man, that. You gotta look it up. It's actually really good.
All right, I'll have to go check that out. Thank you, Trevor, as always. Yeah, Trenin's not going to be back in Milwaukee.
No, he's
anytime staying soon or maybe ever. We'll come back, kick off the next hour with Vince Ferrara next.